Station KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1.
I've tried everything that good in my life that this world would offer me, looking for some peace in my soul.
Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla,
at 88.1. So
Baptist Church radio broadcast, where Reverend Roger L. Green Sr. is the pastor. This broadcast is designed to be a blessing and life changer for you and your family. Listen now as Reverend Green takes you through the Word of God.
Lord, now I thank you. We lift our hands to you, Father, because you are worthy of all our praise. We totally surrender, Father, that you may use us. Speak to me and through me, that your word goes forth, and we'll be better people because we've heard from you. We thank you. In Jesus' name and for his sake we pray. Amen. In the gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 3. Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 3. Verse 17. Matthew chapter 3, verse 17. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." I want to talk about God's example of the perfect Father. Thank you, worship. God's example of the perfect Father. Sisters, men don't always say what they mean. Not always mean what they say. A lot of things we say, sisters, that you really don't understand. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to tell you some things we men say and truly translate it for you. When a man tells you that it would take me too long to explain, he really means I have no idea how it works. When a man says, "Take a break, honey. You've been working around the house too hard," he's actually saying, "I can't hear the game because you have the vacuum running." When he says, "Oh, that's interesting, dear," he's actually saying, "And you still talking?" When he says, "Honey, you don't understand, it's just a man thing," he's actually saying that there is no rational thought pattern connected to what I'm getting ready to tell you, and there's no logic behind it at all. When a man says, "Honey, can I help you with dinner?" he's actually saying, "It ain't done yet." When a man says, "Uh-huh, sure, honey, yes, dear," he is saying absolutely nothing, because it is conditioned, is a conditioned response. When you're talking to him and he acts like he doesn't hear you, and he said, "Oh, baby, don't worry, I heard you," he having the foggiest clue what you just said and hoping that you just end the conversation. When you're out shopping and he said, "Oh, sweetie, that looks terrific on you," he's acting, saying, "Please buy this one because I'm ready to go home." When he says, "Honey," when you're driving on long roads and he says, "Honey, don't worry, I know exactly where we are," he is saying, "No woman ever see us again." My brothers and sisters, brothers ain't try to mess you up, but I have to stand behind the sacred desk and translate for the sisters. Now, I might even mess my own self up. I don't know. Now, sister's going to pay attention to every word we say. And when we say it, then tell me what you really want to say. As I look at today, and today we celebrate our fathers, manhood, fatherhood. As I look out into the world today, they're good men. They are a rare commodity. Good men, they are a rare breed. There are a whole lot of males, but when it comes to men, and in particularly good spiritual men, they are a rare commodity. Sisters, let me help you out. is the difference between a male and a man. Your boo will sit in your house, sit on your furniture, have the remote to your TV, getting ready for you to go into your kitchen and cook him some of your food while you done worked all day on your job. And then he says he loves you. But you know what? I don't fault him. I fault you for falling for it. Good men are hard to find. They are a rare commodity. There are plenty of males. But when it comes to good men, they are a rare breed. Real men, it's time to grow up. God desires us to have a strength inside of us that our family can depend on us. Paul, David even said that when I was a child, I thought as a child, I spoke as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And the worst thing in the world is a childish man. It's all right to laugh, but every time we see you, you're just foolish. God gives us in this text, brethren, the perfect example of a father. God is not merely like a father. God is a father. Because I've come to discover that fathering a child is easy. But being the father of the child is another thing coming. Fathering a child puts you on another level of manhood. Fathering is hard for some, but there is a formula to raising children. One thing I've discovered when Junior was born, I realized that kids don't come with instruction manuals. You have to learn as you go. And so when we look at the text that is before us, Jesus is getting ready to be baptized. He is doing it because he must fulfill the prophecy. Jesus is not being baptized because of he was born in sin like we are. He is doing it to set the example for all of us. For John even said, I'm not worthy to baptize you. You should be baptizing me. But he tells John, the scripture must be fulfilled. In other words, I come in the flesh and I am subject to some laws of the flesh. And just as I expect others to be baptized, I must set the prime example. And so as he was being baptized, God comes now and gives us these heavenly holy hints on how to become the perfect father. Write this down, brethren and sisters. The first thing God teaches us about a good father, perfect father, he shows up. Watch the text. Jesus is being baptized, and from Malachi to Matthew, there was no word from heaven for 400 years. This is the first time God shows up from a 400-year absence. And where and why he shows up? Because an event was happening in his son's life. He shows up. And the Holy Spirit descends in the form of a dove. Doves are associated with peace, gentleness, and humility. And so God speaks for the first time in 400 years. He is speaking because his son is getting ready to endure a major event in his life. So guess what? Daddy showed up. He didn't send Gabriel. He doesn't say since Mary got married, Jesus is Joseph's stepdad, I'll stay away. He said, I showed up anyway because that's my son. Y'all not getting what I'm saying. He didn't say since Mary and I are not getting along right now, I'm going to let Mary do it and I'll come later. He still showed up. Oh, y'all missing it? It doesn't matter what relationship the mother has. The daddy supposed to show up. Because Mary was the only one that got pregnant without the usage of a man. And every other woman needed a man to have a child. And if you're going to have the child, then you got to be the father of the child. Oh, my. Look, listen, I'm the product of a single parent home. I don't know how it feels to come home and have a daddy in the house. My mother had to play both roles. My uncles, my mentors had to come in and lead me up into manhood. But yet, I made up in my mind that I'm going to break the cycle. I'm not going to be a statistic. I'm not going to go out there and do things because I didn't have a father in the home. I had a praying mother in the home. And she prayed to the father that I needed. And look what the father made out of me. Yeah, I strayed away. Yeah, I did things I had no business doing. But mother put something in me a long time ago. And you train up a child in the way it should go. When you grow old, I'm going to talk to the single mothers right now. Don't worry about if he's walking away. Don't worry about if he won't, he's not. There is another father that can father your child. He will always show up. He will be at every event. And even while you and the child sleeping, the father there will watch over you while you sleep in slumber. I wish I had somebody say, God is the perfect father. He shows up. He shows up. And there's a difference between a baby daddy and a father. A baby daddy may show up at the graduation, but the father is every parent-teacher conference. A baby daddy may show up at birthday parties, but a father is with his children every chance he gets. A baby daddy may get the report card in the mail, but a father knows all the grades because he's involved. And let me tell you one thing, men, you laid there and had the child. The child didn't text you and say, I want to come here. Can you help me get here? You laid there. Yeah, I'm going to just put it out there the way it should be put out there. And had the child. And then when the girl tell you I'm pregnant, you show his mind. If she was sleeping around that much, why did you lay with her? He shows up. God showed up for his son. And not only did he just show up, but watch what God did next. When he showed up, he began to speak. In verse 17, he said, this is my beloved son. Not only does he show up, but secondly, he sees his child power and potential. God prepares him for what's coming next because Satan is waiting on his son. Before the enemy can tell him what they want to tell him, the father shows up and say, I'm proud of you. Y'all missed it. He already knows that Satan is going to talk to him later. And when he said, son, what matters is what comes out of my mouth. We have to let our children know that we're proud of them. We got to let our children know you have potential to make it. We've got to let our children know, in spite of what's going to come after what I say, is what I tell you that counts. Oh, y'all not getting what I'm saying. And the reason why many of us can't have that conversation with our children, we are too busy trying to be their friend. We are too busy trying to be their ace boon coon. I told my son when he was up to understand, I said, you are my son. You are not my best friend. I've got too many friends, and I'm trying to get rid of some of them now. I don't need another friend. I want a son, and you need a father. And so he says, you are my son. The statement tells us that God is not ashamed of his son. Oh, let me say that. Don't ever be ashamed of your child. Let me say it again. Don't ever be ashamed of your child. Let me say it again for the spiritually hearing and prayer. Don't ever, regardless of what they do, they're still your child. If they in jail, they still your child. If they hooked on drugs, they still your child. If they decide to live an alternate lifestyle, they're still your child. And don't you ever, with your arrogant self, walk around and say, I'm ashamed of my... It's your job to still be the father, regardless of how your child turns out. My child embarrassed me. See, Sarah Green, there was no embarrassing. When we would go somewhere, if my sister was here, she'll tell you. We're in the car. She don't say nothing to us. We're in transit to our destination. She doesn't say anything to us. But when she get in the parking lot and get ready to take the key out of the ignition, let me tell all y'all something. Don't put your hands on nothing. Don't you ask me for nothing. And don't you embarrass me. But let me tell you, Sarah Green didn't wait till we got home to get a whooping. She tore us up right there. I never wanted my mother to come to school. I know it's Father's Day, but she had to play father and mother. One day I was cutting up. He said, I'm going to call your mama. I said, I'm going to behave. Because I know if mama shows up, what's going to happen in front of my classmates. Brother Sapp, one time in the sixth hour, getting ready to go home, I used profanity and the teacher heard me. Sent me to the office. Mr. Hutchinson at Ash in 1985. He said, now Roger, that's a 2-day suspension. He said, but it's going to break your mama's heart if I suspend you. He said, do you want 2 days or 5 licks? I went. Because I made her break her heart, but she was going to break my neck. You have to see the child's power and potential. Brothers, listen to me. Children can live without many things, but they can't live without love. And if you don't give them the love that they're looking for, they'll start looking in other places. Because all they want to do is to be loved. Don't feel that you're being overlooked when your child say, I want to be like Mike. You tell them, if you want to be like Mike, let daddy show you how to get there. Quit trying to say you should be like me. I want them to be better than me. I don't want them to make the mistakes I made. I don't want them to make the bad choices I made. I want to be that example for them. I want them to see when daddy struggles, he gets on his knees and talks to the Lord about it. The best way, watch this, to show love to your children is to love them unconditionally. So what when they graduate from school, they don't want to go to college? Don't force them. Just because you want your neighbors to know. College is not for everybody. Oh, I want you to go. Don't get me wrong now. I'm not knocking education, but I want to tell you, college is not for everybody. Brother Dearborn, in the 12th grade, my mama hugged me. She said, baby, I'm proud of you. You struggled. You came back, and you finna walk. She said, but when you get that diploma, you got 3 choices. College, the army, or get a job. But you ain't gonna stay here. My job is done. And sometimes we got to give them that tough love. So a father shows up. A real father sees a child's power and potential. But then third and finally, he gives parental support and encouragement. Look what he said. This is my beloved son. And watch what he said. In whom I am well pleased. In other words, God is saying, I approve of where you're going. God the Father looked at Jesus and said, "I'll prove where you're going, my son." He made a public declaration. In Matthew 3:17, he said, "This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased." But in Luke 3:21, he had a private conversation with Christ. He talks directly to him. He said, Thou art my beloved son, and in you I'm pleased." Y'all dismissed it. In Matthew, he tells the world he's pleased with his son. But in Luke, he tells his son, "Son, I'm pleased with you." Listen, if your child flips burgers, you go to your child and tell him, "I'm pleased with you." If your child is getting garbage and throwing it in the back of a truck, you call your child and say, "I'm proud of you." Why they got to have a six-year degree for you to say, "I'm proud of you"? Why they got to have six figures and driving up-to-date cars for you to say, "I'm proud"? If they're doing right by themselves and they're making an honest living, you ought to always be proud of your child. If your uppity neighbors want to talk about your child throwing trash, say, "At least he's doing it the legal way. At least he ain't like your son out there gang banging and stealing from somebody. He's doing the right thing." And while he's throwing out the trash, then you throw out some trash in your life. There are some people in your life that you really don't need. And oh, can I tell you this, fathers? Don't put your child up there too high. Don't ever say what your child won't do. All the weed I smoke, I didn't do it in front of my mama. The times I got drunk, I didn't do it in front of my mama. When I first said this in the pulpit in 1992 and mama heard me, she met me at the church. She said, "Boy, God is going to strike you down in that pulpit line. You ain't never smoked no weed. You ain't never drank." I said, "You just didn't see me." Point I'm trying to tell you, be very careful how you put your kids above everybody else's children. Be very careful. Be proud of them, but don't put them up there. Let me say it again. Be proud of them. Encourage them. Embrace them, but don't put your kids above somebody else's kid. Just because your neighbor kid is straight away and doing good and yours in college, don't you think that your kid is better? Because you don't know what they're doing up there in college. You don't know who they playing and laying with up there in college. You should be thanking God, I'm not with them, but while my eyes are not on them, you keep your eyes on them. Oh, come here, Job. Job prayed for his children, and he prayed that if they would sin in their heart against God, that God would forgive them. Oh, because if you keep putting your child up there, you're disappointed. God tells Jesus, he said, "I'm proud of you, son. I'm proud of the journey that you're on." He said, "But your journey is not over. You got 3 years to endure. Son, we talked about this before you got here. We know there's a cross coming. We know there's a death coming." Y'all missing it. Before Jesus came in the world, the Bible said he was slain before the foundation of the world. That means that Christ's coming was already in God's plan. That means that God and Christ talked about it even before Adam was created. Y'all not getting what I'm saying? The daddy talked to the son and told the son, "It's not going to be easy. People going to lie on you. People going to ridicule you. Somebody in your own circle going to betray you and deny you. But you keep your eyes on the prize, because the reason why you're coming here is to go to the cross." Oh, watch this. When Jesus was here, his father embraced him and encouraged him. But when he got closer to his purpose, he said, he went back, he talked to his daddy again. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, "Daddy, I need to holler at you. You said this thing is going to be hard. But now sweat is falling from my brow like great drops of blood." He said, "Father, I know you and I talked about this before I got here. But will you just let this cup pass from me? Lord, let me come back where I was with you." In other words, God said, "No, son. You've come this far. It's no sense to turning around now." And Jesus got that nevertheless mentality. Well, Father, not as I will, but let thy will be done. So they beat him.